Welcome back to the Cover Zero podcast. It is our week 8 recap show. I'm your host tonight, Jordan, joined by, as always, Jay. We didn't play yet. Raiders. We go tomorrow night against the Lions. But on a Sunday where you did not see the silver and black, how was your Sunday?
It was good, bro, because I got to focus on every other team. I didn't have to worry about, oh, my team is playing. Oh, let me switch back. You know what I'm saying? So it was good for me to be able to just worry about the team tomorrow and just go ahead and focus on the games that was on today. So
yeah, you take the heart and the emotion parts out of it, at least from your own allegiance, and really just, you know, get real studious on a Sunday and see what everybody else around the league is doing. Right. Pretty cool Sunday overall, as everybody knows, listening, or if this is your first time, we are going to be hitting you with the good and the bad, particularly from this Sunday, broken down into two main points. And we're going to first start with our what's going on this week.
Oh, no. Is them again? Cover Zero, nice to hear from you again. This is the NFL Executive Office. How can I help you today?
What? I just have one question.
And what is your question?
What's going on? What's going on? I'm going to kick things off on that front right now. I have a team. This one's going to maybe surprise some people, but to me, it surprised me for the wrong reason, and that's why they landed here. The Houston Texans. This team has showed some promise coming out this year. DeMeco Ryans has really made a statement over there. Their offense has looked really good. CJ Stroud has been impressive. Will Anderson has really looked like they found something with an edge rusher. In the mid rounds, they took Tank Dell, who's like a nice, speedy receiver. The offensive line was going to come back, did come back today, and was actually intact for the most part, far more than they had been all year. Mm-hmm. And they're playing against the Carolina Panthers, a team that also has Bryce Young, as we know, number one overall pick. CJ was number two.
Right.
And the Panthers were the only team left in the NFL without a win. And the showing that I saw from the Texans today is why I have them here. It just seems so flat and uninspired. Just that's really the takeaway that I have from it. Flat and uninspired. There were just parts where CJ Stroud wasn't his usual self. Mm-hmm. He seemed to be a little bit like off rhythm, off target. I mean, it just kind of left a funny taste in my mouth. And from an offense that I've seen draw up some good stuff, I saw several plays today that just really left me scratching my head. And that's like I was saying, that's why I got him here. What's going on, bro? In the first quarter, they call a zone run. And they line up in a formation where they got Dalton Schultz sitting at the sniffer position, basically a tight end just flexed right behind the tackle. He motions from right to left. There's now nobody directly over Brian Burns, a Cover Zero favorite, Brian Burns. And the tackle on his side, George Fant, down blocks. Brian Burns comes screaming off the edge. There's nobody there. The only dude tasked to block him is the left guard, who's pulling behind the line of scrimmage, obviously can't get there because the run's coming straight to Brian. Boom. TFL, loss of like 8 yards.
Right.
They ran that play three times.
Right.
Three times in the game. Right. It ended up in a TFL. I was not very impressed with this squad today. The Panthers today earned 6 first downs off of penalties from the Texans. Like, this type of thing is just ugly, and I just thought I was going to see more. Final score ends up being 15-13. Eddie Pinheiro kicked the game-winning field goal after multiple weird penalties of Tavier Thomas kept jumping off sides and getting in sportsmanlike conduct because he kept jumping off sides so much.
Right.
You know, but he still drilled it to win the game. But I wanted more out of this. You put up 13 points after you've been looking really good so far throughout the start of this year. Carolina has been averaging 31 points allowed throughout the course of this season.
Right.
And you can't even put up like about half that to
you
get the win.
Right. I got to agree with you, bro. I think with me, I look at it like it's just one of those teams where, okay, like you said, they haven't won a game all season. Houston's been playing pretty well, you know, and they went in and they just fell asleep. They didn't think they really had to really show up and do what they were supposed to do, you know, and that just shows too, because this is a young team. CJ Stroud, he just been drafted. Mm-hmm. Will Anderson, some of the stars that's been playing pretty well, they didn't play well, and they're still young, and they're not veterans. You know, when it's a young team like this, you go against these type of teams that you're supposed to beat, you end up losing like this, just looking flat. That just shows you right there, man, is that they still got a lot to learn. And same with the head coach. You know, DeMeco Ryans, his first year being a head coach, you know, he got to make sure he got this team ready to play for even the teams that's, you know, not too good in this league.
Yeah. I mean, There's another play where it was on a pass play. They were trying to draw up a shot deep, here, like somewhere in the second quarter. And again, Brian Burns was not accounted for on the line. They left Singletary in to take him in on one-on-one. Stroud ended up getting sacked. It's like these things seem like they would be simple things if you were looking when you were playing against the Carolina defense. Okay, let's have a plan for this guy. Let's attack. Right. You know, those type of things you would just be able to check the boxes off. And we've seen them so far do it, but you're right. I mean, it's still teams in the NFL, and you still got to come to play on Sunday. And when you don't, this is the thing that can happen. I just thought I was going to see more. I mean, overall, I went back and I looked at like how other quarterbacks also did against the Panthers. And this was CJ Stroud had just had the most flat and uninspiring is the word I used before. And I just keep coming back to it because that's really the impression that I'm left with after I just continue to think about what I saw today on the field from this team. They're definitely better than this. Do think that they'll bounce back, but as far as today, that was just a very uninspiring performance today, guys. Mm-hmm. Speaking of uninspiring, though, what's going on for today, bro?
Yeah, man. First of all, shout out, Abe, man. Shout out to the best producer in the world, man. Look, his Rams is what's going on, bro. Like, I don't understand how you can let Dak Prescott, somebody that hasn't looked good all season. He hasn't been himself all season. He threw for the most yards today, 304 yards. He had 4 touchdowns. He balled out, bro. He balled out. And, you know, when I look back, I'm looking at the Rams. I'm looking like, okay, you know, all the teams they played, thinking back at the different games, different quarterbacks they played. No quarterback has played the way that Dak has played in the last few – all season, basically. Dak has played his best – he's played better than any quarterback they basically play, basically. That's what I was trying to get to.
Dak had the best game against the Rams than any quarterback he had the best so far. Yeah.
So far, bro. You know, and it's crazy because, like I said, Dak hasn't really played that well. And, you know, you go up against a Rams defense, a pass defense that's ranked 11th in the league, which is pretty solid. So I don't understand how you can let somebody just catch fire like that. You know what this team, you know what they're going to try to do. I mean, obviously, they've been running the ball well, but they're going to try to let Dak do his thing because they paid him to do that, you know. So for them to allow that, man, that was crazy to me. I just didn't expect them to be, you know, 43 points on him like that, him having 4 touchdowns. I mean, he hasn't had 3 touchdowns all season. He's only had, I think his highest was 2, and that was in week 2, I believe it was. Every other week, he's only had 1 touchdown. Week 1, he didn't have no touchdowns. So he really balled out today, man. Matter of fact, he should be on my ICU because we've been talking about him. I know I've been talking about him, so I should add him on there too, mixed in combination with that. But, yeah, he balled out, and I got to blame the Rams defense for this, though. So that's my what's going on.
I just like CeeDee Lamb today, and this has kind of been noticed when we've been watching Dallas over the course of the year.
Yeah,
CeeDee Lamb just seems to be the difference maker on that offense, and especially in the passing game.
Right.
They can't seem to get anybody else to be able to beat man coverage. They can't seem to get anybody else to be able to have any juice to consistently win matchups. Mm-hmm. And CeeDee was the dude today. 14 targets, 12 grabs, 158 yards, and 2 scores today. Mm-hmm. And they weren't just like little dinkers. I mean, he was averaging 13.2 a clip. And so they just didn't seem to have an answer for him because we've seen other defenses. And the Rams defense is a very capable defense. They've definitely shown that this year. And look, when the game started, I want to say the first 2 dropbacks that Dak had, he was taken down. Michael Hoyton, Aaron Donald, et cetera.
Aaron Donald balled out, too. He had 2 sacks in this game. He did his thing. It was just that pass defense. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, yeah, the pass defense left a lot there. And it's just like, it seems like, though, like stopping the pass defense or being able to really keep this Dallas passing offense in check, like we've seen a lot of teams do,
right?
It doesn't seem like there's too much more than it than develop a plan for CeeDee Lamb, which obviously just developing a plan for CeeDee is easier said than done. But if you're an NFL defensive coordinator, that's what you get paid for. Beyond that, there's not really a lot of dudes on this offense that you got to like really worry about. Right. And I mean, Pollard's still a very capable guy, but as far as like from the passing aspect,
not a wide receiver, right.
You know what I mean? That's what you really got to try to put a kibosh on. There was a lot of special teams woes. That there was the Deron Bland pick. The pick 6 from Deron Bland. Right. Stafford, it was an out route. I can't remember who the receiver was. Stafford put that ball so far inside. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like Bland got beat a little bit. The receiver had him out leveraged on the route, mm-hmm. and Stafford threw it right to him. He didn't even undercut it. Took it back to the house. Right. I mean, it was just, you had a block punt for a safety, following the blocked punt, Turpin, the punt returner, because you got to punt it off, you know, everybody after the safety. The returner was Turpin who took it. He ran that shit back all the way to like the 30 after he got, like, it's just like bad play and mistake after mistake after mistake. And they got on top of him. And it was just really, it kind of reminded me of, you know, the movie The Replacements.
Yeah. Yeah. Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves. Yep. And Keanu Reeves was Shane Falco, the quarterback. And they asked him, Gene Hackman, the coach, asked him what he's scared of. And he said, quicksand. And he means, like, metaphorically, when things go wrong in a game and you fight back, and thus you're fighting back, gets you deeper until you can't breathe and you drown like quicksand. Right, Rams was in quicksand today, bro. That's what that looked like.
That's a fact, bro. That's a good that's a good analogy right there. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Yeah. It definitely was that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about what's going on right there, man. Unacceptable by that Rams pass defense.
Got to see more, guys. Got to see more. We'll move on to the good parts. We over here at Cover Zero Podcast like to keep it positive, keep the positivity moving. Type of human beings we are over here. I see you, bruh. I see what you're doing out there. I like it. I see what you're doing. I see you. My first one for today, I got to go with the guy that he's made history today. He became the first receiver in NFL history to have over 125 receiving yards in 6 straight games. A.J. Brown. That man is a beast. And by the way, those Kelly Green uniforms that they wore against Miami last Sunday, and then A.J.'s dark visor with that.
A.J. was fire, bro. Them jerseys was fire with the all-white eagle.
Mm-hmm. The all-white eagle, and then A.J., because he wears that dark mask, the dark visor with the Kelly Green. And he's, you know, dude, jacked. Like, that's like, okay. Like, people creating a player on a video game, creating a player, he going to look like that.
Yeah. Right.
For sure. Today, A.J. Brown had 8 grabs for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns against Washington. And I don't know if you saw any of the touchdowns today, but the 2 of them were just, the first one was, it was one-on-one. I want to say it was against Benjamin St. Juice, the corner. And from the jump, on the play, they were in like the 33-yard line in Washington territory. Hurts drops back. From the second he got this ball, he knew exactly what he was doing. It was going to be a jump ball for A.J. Brown. He throws it. Brown, like, is running down the left sideline. And he jumps in the air, 180s to shield the DB away from it. Comes down one-handed and just pulls it in. When I was watching it live, I was like, oh, he didn't get his feet down. No, that dude didn't get his feet down. He got both knees down. Just to be able to have that type of strength and that body control, and then just also be able to go up and get it like that, and then have the soft hands to pull it. I mean, he made it look easy. It was poetry in motion going up and getting for that. And then the second one really signaled to me, even more than the first one, the second touchdown today that he had, that was more Jalen Hurts being like, I don't care what coverage you're going to draw. The first one was a one-on-one. Right. They had a double coverage on him in the second touchdown. And he still said,
yeah.
3rd and 7, end zone, A.J. Like, you might as well have blindfolded him. He still probably would have thrown the ball to the same place.
When you're that physical and that big, bro, you're just capable to do those type of things.
You are.
You're just gifted.
You are.
Yeah, God's talent right there, man.
It was the second one was on Emmanuel Forbes. And I remember when he was coming out, I was like, because he went to Washington. And I think it was like when we did like a post-draft or something like that.
Right.
Like, you imagine Emmanuel Forbes twice a year trying to guard A.J. Brown at 100. He's 160 pounds and A.J. like 230. Like, it's going to be bad news. And here he had help. It still didn't matter. This is another touchdown.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, over his last 6 games, 8 for 130 and 2 scores today. Last week on Sunday Night Football, 10 grabs for 137 and a touchdown where he just ran through 2 Dolphins secondary members. 7 for 131 before that. 6 grabs and 127. 9 for 175 and 2 scores. I want to say that was the last time they maybe even played Washington. I mean, it's just been incredible. We have all talked about the season that Tyreek Hill has been having. And because it's very historic, he is on track to break the all-time record in yardage right now. Right? An all-time season. And Tyreek Hill is the first player in the Super Bowl era to reach 1,000 yards 8 weeks in. Another crazy part of this, A.J. Brown only 70 yards behind him. Like the season that Hill is having, we're all taking notice of it because how Miami has just stormed the league with all that they're doing, right? Yeah. But A.J. Brown, and we're talking about what the Phillies offense doesn't quite look the same. And sure, there's some truth to that. But the season A.J. Brown is having is kind of getting lost in other things that may not be where we expect him to be with Philly. Right. And, yeah, dude is killing right now. Through eight games, most receiving yards in the history of the league right now, Tyreek Hill obviously is number one. Torrey Holt had 978 in 03. Tyreek Hill last year with Miami with 961. Wes Welker in 2011 during that crazy Patriots season. And then right after that is A.J. Brown, what we're seeing him do right
now. That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
Very impressive, A.J. I see you, bro. Right now, I mean, with Justin Jefferson out, it's Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown holding down that top spot for the receiver position for my money. We'll keep it, though, to your what's going on, or not what's going on, your I see you, Landon, on the offensive side of the ball. Who do you have this evening?
I got Will Levis, bro. I got Will Levis, man. I mean, we got to shed light on what he did, man. Debut, you know, this is a quarterback here, man, and I watched three quarterbacks go before him. We just talked about two of them. Bryce Young went first. C.J. Stroud went second. And then it was Anthony Richardson. And then he fell all the way to the second round, 33 pick overall to the Titans. And, you know, obviously this was going to be a battle there. Ryan Tannehill is still the starter. Malik Willis, you know, they drafted him just last year. I think people kind of forgot about him. And he actually been playing well the times he's came in this year.
So, you think Will's been playing well?
I think he's played well. I think he's had some good passes. Compared to last year, he's definitely – yeah, he's definitely. If you compare it to last year, bro.
That's where you're at. I'm not Malik Willis been playing well camp. That's not
me. I think he's played well. I think he's played well. But my thing is that he's been competing. He's basically the third string quarterback. And for him to go out there, really, no hesitation, no nothing, man, to put up four touchdowns. I mean, he had DeAndre Hopkins looking like
young
top three wide receiver. Yeah, like a, you know, back to the top three, top two wide receiver in the league. So, yeah, he balled out, man. You know, just impressive to see, man, and all the controversy, everything that went on through the draft process and him going to a team that he's got to battle two quarterbacks. Now, Mike Vrabel and them, they really got a quarterback controversy right now on that team, because you still got Ryan Tannehill there. I even know he's been hurt. You got Malik Willis. I think Will could beat him out, you know, and so on and so forth, man. So if he continue to play this way, the one thing I will say with him lighting up the Falcons really didn't have too much tape on him or anything like that. So, you know, we'll see how Will Levis play next week. You know, I think they go against the Steelers, you know, so, and their defense has been, it's been respectable for the most part. So, but yeah, you gotta give it to Will Levis, man. This dude, he balled out. He had a QB rating of 130, I believe. He had no interceptions, completed about 65% of his passes. I mean, dude balled out, man. Dude balled out. You definitely gotta give him his credit, man. So I see you, Will. I see you.
We have never seen a quarterback in his debut drop this many touchdowns and throw for that many yards simultaneously. Like that, like just it's never happened before. And the part of it to me that is a little like it seemed like Will wasn't getting certain things, and maybe he wasn't. Maybe the verbiage was too much. Maybe he wasn't on time up until today, which is when they felt comfortable putting him in there. Right. Obviously, we're not in the locker rooms and in the practices, so we don't know. But if this dude is being able to diagnose defenses like this, let go a lot of the throws that we saw today that he was able to connect on, how was this dude really not inserted into the lineup before? Is like my question.
That's you talking about Will, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, bro. If you going back to the whole Malik Willis, I don't think Malik has been balling out. He's been playing better than what he did last year. He showed progress, and I think that's why he got the start, because, like you said, I mean, okay, you got Ryan Tannehill. You would think, okay, we got Will Levis here. I wasn't high on Malik Willis. I know. I think you had him as your number one quarterback coming out.
I had it. He was my number one last year, but I didn't like that class last year at all.
Yeah. So a lot of people, not just you though, I think CJ, a lot of people had him number one. I wasn't high on him at all. So
yeah, I wouldn't have taken him. I'd take it like a flyer late first round on him, but I wasn't like, I was out on that quarterback class as a whole last year altogether.
Yeah. So with that being said though, I did see progress from the times I've seen him play. And I thought that was good. You know, you just drafted him. You did just draft Will Levis. Now you got to see what you got in both of them. It's a perfect time to do that because Ryan Tannehill has been injured. He's been hurt. So with that being said, though, what we've seen today, I just think it's been really, really impressive by Will. So, I think now it's no question. It's no question. Mike Vrabel definitely need to consider him getting some first-team reps first week. This week,
Because they play on Thursday. They play Thursday, right?
Is it Thursday?
I think they play the Steelers on Thursday. And if
I know they got the Steelers, I'm just not sure what.
Yeah, I think it's on a Thursday right now. But if I'm Vrabel, I'm starting Will right now until I see something else.
Yeah.
Like that, what I saw, like he had the first D-hop touchdown was, oh my God, I couldn't believe they didn't call. I mean, I can kind of believe they didn't call offensive pass interference.
Yeah, you're
like
right. They got Thursday, bro. In Pittsburgh.
So it's quick turnaround. And like, because I want to say I saw like one of the post-game pressers where he was talking about like Will knew he was going to start. So he did the thing. Well, you know, 50 people in the crowd for me, a lot of people supporting him. And so then Vrabel was like, enjoy tonight. But bro, you got to come back and get ready because we got to play on Thursday and we got to travel. So, but the first touchdown, the first one that he dropped was a deep shot to DeAndre down the left sideline. Mm-hmm. And DeAndre in his age now, he just mugged the shit.
They should have called it. They should have. Come on, man. Don't sit up. Look, we're talking. I see yous, bro. We ain't talking about what's going on. We ain't doing that.
We are. I couldn't believe. I was like, I watched it. I was like, oh, Will? Like red zone or something cut to it. And I was like, I saw the ball in the air. And I'm like, Will? Okay. Wow. No flag. And AJ Terrell's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
It is, you know, missed calls happen. It's going to be a thing.
That was,
you know, but then, yeah, it is what it is. Whatever, missed calls happen. But then the second one over the middle, like we saw D-Hop get some yak going. Yeah. The third Will Levis touch. The third and the fourth were the real ones where I was like, oh, okay. They were later in the game, and they started to realize. It seemed like the coordinators and the coaching staff started to realize, like, hey, this kid's comfortable back there. Let's go ahead and put some seasoning on it. Let's go ahead and put some sauce on it. Animal style? Sure. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Let's start to kick it up a notch.
Right.
And they were giving him double moves. That the third DeAndre Hopkins TD was off of a double move. It was off of like a just like a stop and go route. Mm-hmm. But you see in Levis back there, like he's seeing it, he's reading it, giving the shoulder fake, and then going up top with it, dropping it in the basket. The one that he threw to, I want to say it was to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. That ball was, he drops back. They like rolled him out and moved the pocket away from the rush to like to the right. And Levis is like standing on the Falcons like 40-yard line. And Westbrook-Ikhina had ran an over route from the outside. Normally you don't run over routes from the outside and end up in like the deep corner of the end zone. But this just this angle they took it on. And Will drops back and he's kind of off his back foot. He lets that thing go. It lands in the back corner, like on the far letter. Right in the basket.
Right
in the basket, bro. Yeah. I was like, he got hit after it, and he's on the ground, and he's looking at it, and he's laying down just like, I have arrived. Like, you know, I was like, okay, Will.
You've been waiting on that, bro. And he's been waiting.
I'm glad you mentioned him. I think I sent the group text, and I was like, hey, oh, because I saw, like, one of the throws. Will Levis kind of balling today. You're like, oh, yeah, I see you.
Oh, I was getting back on there to say that. So when I said that, I was like,
For sure. I'm glad. Like, if he definitely needs to be on the show today after what we saw and how he was dropping it. So that's a really, really good one. That's a fire one right there. Anxious to see Thursday now and see what he could continue to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My other ICU today, kind of unexpected from this fan base that I'll be talking them about them in this light. But hey, we keep it real here on the Cover Zero podcast.
I'm gonna go ahead and step out. I'll go ahead and let you just talk to the crowd. No,
I'm I'm gonna go ahead and take a break to the end of the show. I'll be back to say goodnight to everybody.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. Come back at the end of the show, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna go take a walk. I gotta go hit the corner store real quick. Get me a Gatorade or something. I gotta do it, man. Denver Broncos today, they snapped their losing streak against the Kansas City Chiefs, winning 24-9. Denver, I see you today, and I felt like we were talking about this before the show started.
Right.
We had to mention this considering how the Chiefs looked today, the questions around the Chiefs, what we have said all season long about Denver. And what I saw today with Denver, I saw a team that is starting to find its stride. That's really what I saw today. Yes, Chiefs fans and Patrick Mahomes apologists, I may or may not be one, but definitely Patrick Mahomes had the flu. That was a part of it. He was on the field and talking shit. So, hey. You got to go ahead and call what you see. And so that here we are. The Denver rushing attack. Like this was really the full game where I think we saw them tap into their strengths and more so establish an identity as to what this team can be, or at least what I expected them to be going into the season after acquiring Sean Payton. Today, on the ground, they ran the ball 40 times for 153 yards. And when they got into the red zone, they were able to have success as well. Russ wasn't great today, but he wasn't necessarily cooking. I think one of the announcers or someone, I think it was Chris Sims on Sunday Night Football, Russ was cooking or whatever.
They just can't wait to say it. They used to say him, Russ is
cooking.
You know, they just can't wait to say it when he's doing one good pass out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And all of a sudden he's cooking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Before he was, you know, putting hot dogs in cereal, I guess now you could say the dude made an okay PB&J. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Because PB&J hit the spot all the time, but you don't got to be no culinary expert. So, yeah.
Right.
You hit the spot. You got the job done today, Russ. I will give him props on a couple of throws. He hit Judy on this deep post.
That was a nice one. That was the old Russ because we used to talk about Russ having that nice ball. When he throws it in the back end like that, and it's a fade route. Could you talk about it was a fade route, right?
It was. So he had the fade route to him, which was probably a nicer one. He hit him on the same drive on a deep post, and Russ gave him a chance, and Judy, like, boxed out the safety so well and went up and, like, palmed it, and the safety got a hand on it, but he collected it. But, like, that type of a throw, putting your dude in a position to win, these are the things we haven't really seen very consistently from Russ and Judy as well, and the Broncos offense just executing. I think the one you're talking about was
the
Judy touchdown, right?
Yeah.
That one actually impressed me a little bit more because like you were talking about the moonball aspect of it. Yeah. The corner was Jalen Watson, I want to say, 35 for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Judy got a nice inside release off of him and took it a little bit vertical on the over. So at that point as a corner, you have the option of you got to play really, really good trail technique. And for everybody listening, you got to get like right behind the receiver. So you make it hard for the quarterback to throw over you, but not too far in front of the receiver.
Right.
Russ did that perfectly. Russ did that perfectly.
That was the old Russ, bro. That was the old Russ. And you know what? You know, real quick, I'm going to go in and add to it, man. One thing I will say, and I've talked about this with Denver, they've been really trying to run the ball through since week one. They tried to run the ball on us. They had some success. That's why I was saying, and I'm not trying to ramble too much, but when we talked about the Raiders, we talked about how we thought the Patriots, when they played the Patriots, how we thought the Patriots can beat them. And I mentioned about, oh, yeah, you know, I think the Patriots should try to run the ball because teams haven't really tried yet. Denver tried and had some success, and then they got away from it. And I've noticed that in some of these games with Denver, even versus Miami. I know they got blown out, but that first half, they were trying to run the ball, and they were being successful with it. Miami just pulled away from them. So now you're seeing, you know, 40 touches, that many yards running. Sean Payton is really trying to be consistent with the run, and I think that's impressive because in New Orleans, that wasn't him. I mean, he wasn't somebody else trying to run the ball, you know. So, yeah, shout out, you know. I'm used to saying shout out. I had to realize who I was saying shout out to.
I've never been in this headspace before.
Yeah, I've never been here before. But, let's go ahead and I'll shout out that offense, I guess, man, the run game that's finally. Shout out Sean Payton for doing something different because he's just never been known for really trying to run the ball. And I could tell through the very first week and through the games I've watched, he's been really trying to run the ball. So
that's the Russell Wilson offense at this point, too. Like run the ball, deep shots off play action and not have him, you know, not put it in his hands a ton. Right. Call on him for big plays, and when you do, let him execute. Russ also added a couple of nothing crazy,
right?
But more movement and activity within the pocket to be able to scramble for some yards. The Chiefs' pass rush actually was one component of their defense that was there today. George Karlaftis has rounded into a good player this year.
He's turned out to be a stud, man.
He had another nice, really nice game today. Got Russ on a strip sack and was just doing work. But I was telling you before, like we started recording. There was a point where I was like, okay, like Karlaftis came to play today. Leo Chanel had some nice moments in the game. And then I was like, wait, where is Chris Jones? Where is this dude, Chris Jones? And so I saw him on the field a couple times, and then I went to go check injury reports. Like when I was rewatching the game and it was the fourth quarter, I go to check injury. No, he's good to go. So, you know, when you have a quarterback like Mahomes was today dealing with the flu, not himself clearly. Play calling even reflected that in a lot of different ways, especially when they got into some gotta have it spots. You need other guys to step up, and that's not something we necessarily saw from Kansas City today. So we'll go ahead and see when Mahomes gets right, what they continue to look like. But there was a moment of minor savagery, I'll call it, minor savagery at the end of the game. When the game was pretty much in the balance after Mecole Hardman fumbled a punt late in their own territory, and then they were able to capitalize and get a touchdown off of it. And I think then on the following drive, they got a field goal, and that was what pretty much cemented the final score, the 24-9 in favor of Denver. Through the PA system in between every single dead ball, they blasted nothing but Taylor Swift.
I heard. I turned it, but I heard. It went across my phone. It was like, you know, Denver's playing Taylor Swift and whatnot. But you know what? I thought to myself, man, now they about to go another 16 games, 0-16, the next eight seasons, whatever it was. They're not going to win another game versus the Chiefs. Now you really poked the bear. So, you know, they caught him slipping today. Like you said, Patrick Mahomes having the flu, you know, and Denver just had a good game. But you poking the bear. Because remember, we did that, you know, when John Gruden and the Rams.
Riding the bus multiple times around Arrowhead.
Yeah, and got smoked and haven't won since. So, you know, yeah. They're going to remember that.
Yeah, Mahomes, I remember that was 2020, right, when we beat them, and then he was riding a bus around.
Yeah.
And then they came into our building that year. We almost beat them.
Yeah,
we lost a close one because stupid Jonathan Abram. Yeah. Stupid Jonathan Abram giving that touchdown to Kelsey. Yeah. And then the next year, what was it, 2021 or 20, I can't remember. Then Mahomes is like, they made it that goal. Go ahead and take it from us. That's Mahomes running to the sideline going to four, dropping four TDs on our head. Yeah. You're right. They poked the bear. But hey, Denver, good win. Go ahead and celebrate it. I like what I saw from the offense, just from a pure football perspective. Obviously, I'm not going to say I like Denver's offense or, you know, everybody knows what time it is. Yeah. But yeah, I like what I saw today. I got to give props where it's due. And that was definitely needed. They got a good performance, too, from their slot corner. Jaquan Williams had himself a nice game, too. And so that was really dope to see. He had interceptions, TFLs. He was real active in this game. So they got Barrett Browning back. They could end up being a pesky team down the road if they keep this going.
Yeah.
And yeah, end up being a pesky team that might spoil some other teams' hopes as we get closer to the end of the year. So, yeah, that's our Week 8 recap show. Everybody, enjoy your Halloween week. Did you go to any Halloween parties this weekend, my bro?
You know what? I didn't, bro. I didn't. But I'll probably be at one on hot. Not one, man. Me and my boys, we didn't go to one this weekend, but we'll probably be at one on Halloween.
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday, man. We'll probably be at one.
Okay. I ended up going to two on Saturday. Two on Saturday. It's pretty fun. Pretty fun. All right, everybody. Keep it locked with Cover Zero Podcast. We will be back with our Week 9 preview coming this weekend. Y'all take care.